Praise God tonight
that He knows our name. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. It is an honor and it is a privilege to be able to stand in the pulpit, stand at the sacred desk and preach the precious Word of God. I do not take it lightly, and I hope and pray you don't either. So, again, it's a blessing to be here. I just have a few things that I'm jotting down just for a second as a thought that came to my heart and came to my mind as I was sat there and he was singing. And I don't want to shortchange what the Lord has done and what He will do here. So you bear with me for just a second and we'll get this going. So you can go ahead and open your Bibles up if you will. We'll be in 2 Timothy here in just a second. All right. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy in chapter 1, so we're going to be here this evening. Again, I thank you for being back with us tonight for our evening service. But I'll be there in just a second with the Scriptures. I want to bring a message tonight titled, Stir Up. And you may say, well, does that mean I need to be stirred up or do I stir something else up? And I'm toying around with preaching a message next week, if God gives me the allowance, titled Stirred Up, which is past tense. But today it's not that. The simple title of this message, this thought, is Stir Up, or To Stir Up, if you will, if you want to think about the context or the idea behind it. I believe it's something that every Christian needs to remember, and that is the idea behind it tonight, that this message is for Christians. It is for people that know Christ as their Savior, and maybe you're listening or watching this here tonight or some other time, and I don't want you to turn it off. Don't turn the sermon off. Don't flip channels or whatever it may be, because I believe in all of my heart, if you'll just buckle in and listen to it and apply the thoughts into your heart and into your mind tonight, that it'll stir something up in you that it will put into you that you can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I do want to say this at the onset, beloved, if you need to be saved, if you want to be eternally saved, sealed under the day of redemption, that is a choice that you can make. It's not an intellectual choice. But if you're feeling a prick in your heart, if you're feeling a nudging, if you're feeling a conviction, if you're feeling something inside of your heart drawing you to make Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is not there by any accident. It's not there by happen chance. It's not something that you can do by education or intellect. It's something that is being done to you right now, spiritually speaking. And the Lord is dealing with you so that you will place your faith, the faith He's given you, in the only Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. So I plead with you now that if you know Him not as Lord and Savior, that at this moment you would bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to save you. It is that simple. Don't listen to someone about being elected. Don't listen that you need to go to a building or some priest has to put slobber on you or whatever. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it's a decision you can make freely today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. It's a free gift. If it's a free gift, you can freely choose or you can freely reject. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 tonight. We've already read it in our evening reading. You don't need to stand this time. The Bible tells me in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon this word tonight, dear God. I pray that you control, dictate, guide, and direct, Father, every single word that comes out of my mouth. I pray that it would be done to your glory, your honor. And I ask of you, Lord, again, just as we said this morning, I pray, dear Father, that for that one that may hear this message who needs it most right here, right now, I pray that you would make ample opportunity for them to hear and receive this word. I pray there will be people watching and listening right now that have bowed their head and accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, and then they can apply this sermon even greater into their heart, into their life. Father, please, I beg of you, Lord, you bring the increase. You save the soul. That is your job. Lord, we are merely thy mouthpiece. We are just the messenger today. Lord, you've given us a perfect word to preach your word. It's not the days of signs and wonders. It's not the days of seeing things, Father, in the sky or on the wall. Father, it is the days of putting our faith and trust and dependence in the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for giving us a preserved, perfect word of God today that we can put that faith there into. Lord, I love you. I thank you. And I praise the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Beloved, again, I say this, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, that Paul is writing unto Timothy here. This is the final letter that Paul writes in around AD 68. And he's only a short period of time away from losing his life on the road to Ostia, where he was beheaded, amen. And Paul here is performing. In this letter, what I want you to understand this evening, in this letter, Paul is performing the duty that every Christian has. In the letter that he's writing, in the verse that we're looking at, now this is this verse we're using as a springboard to go over to 2 Corinthians a little later on, but he's performing a duty that every single Christian on this planet today has. And that is to stir one another up. To stir one another up. Christianity once had power to it. Christianity once had power that would shake the walls, my friend. I mean, there was a time in our age, in our life, that people would flock to the house of God. Christians would come into the house of God, and they would come and they would fill the pews up, and the man of God would preach the word of God, and he would preach the gospel, and he would stir the people up. And the action, listen, the actions from the pulpit, from the pews, was a direct result from the unction that was in the pulpit, where he was stirring the people's heart, stirring the Holy Spirit of God up inside of them. Sam P. Jones, the famous American preacher, used to hold revival meetings in downtown Nashville in Tennessee, where we hail from. And they would last for months on end. And there's a building there today that is known as the Ryman Auditorium, of which these criminals had set fire to a couple weeks ago, a historical building that was built to hold gospel meetings in, nothing else and nothing more. It became the birthplace of the Grand Ole Opry, and I understand that country music was played in there. I get that. But 100+ years ago, it was built, and it was known as the Union Gospel Tabernacle. It was constructed to hold the people that would come to Sam P. Jones's revivals. And the reason the crowds grew was because people were getting saved and their lives were being transformed. And so much so that the ones around them were moved and stirred, amen. And Christianity made a difference, and it made a difference, a long-standing difference, amen. Those that are around them. It had a difference in the communities, a difference in the families, a difference in the schools. As a matter of fact, the reason that auditorium is named Ryman Auditorium, it's named after the man that sold all he had and built that building for Sam P. Jones, Captain Ryman. He owned a fleet of gambling boats that would be there on the Cumberland River, and they would go, and people would get drunk, and they would take all the liquor and gamble away, and his clientele began to decline, and he figured out why. It was because the people were going down to these open air meetings that Sam P. Jones was preaching, and they were getting saved, and they were stopping all the foolishness, they were stopping all the crowds around, they were stopping all the waste of a living, and they were getting right with God, and their families were, and the town was, and the city was, and all this. And Captain Ryman goes down to one of his meetings to find out what the issue was, and all of a sudden he got saved and born again. So he sold everything that he had, and he built the Union Gospel Tabernacle to hold these glorious revival meetings for this wonderful preacher. Guys, Christianity had an effect on the community. It had an effect on the families. It had an effect on the schools. It had an effect on the country. Amen. People were stirred up. My God. Paul, right when he was in Ephesus, Christianity began to grow in such an effect, in such a way that it affected that city, so much so that Luke recorded in Acts 19, verse 23, that there was no small stir about that way. What way? Christianity, my friend. People turn from their wicked ways and they turn from their idol worship. They turn from their curious arts and their worldly ways. There was a difference made in their life. Why? Because it was about that way. The Christian way, Christianity, and what Christianity was at one time, the way that it stirred people up. And that's what Paul is doing when he writes to this young man by the name of Timothy. He was stirring him up of the gift that was put into him by the laying on of his hands. Beloved, we live in a world today where 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every single month due to either moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in their churches. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel either unqualified or discouraged in their role of pastors. 50% of those who pastor churches today are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could make a living any other way. Where is the power gone in our pulpits today? There was a book written in the United Kingdom back in the late 50s, and it was titled The Empty Pulpit. It goes back all the way back in the late 50s where a survey was being done, a polls were being documented of how the Christian churches, which had such a great effect on the world and our country right here, right now, were beginning to be empty. The pulpits were empty. The places were empty. The people became empty. Because of that, the towns and the villages and the cities have become empty and desolate from the spiritual perspective. Where's the power gone? I ask you that tonight. Where's the power gone in your life? Where's the power gone in our communities today? May I say this to you tonight, that the same Holy Spirit that fell on Paul and stirred up Timothy fell in you on the day that you got saved. Now, you may be sitting here tonight and you heard that opening prayer that I prayed, and maybe you hit tonight and you heard that opening request and the pleading for you to accept Christ as your Savior. And if you did that, if you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, moments ago, the same Holy Spirit of God that filled up the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, and his byproduct, young Timothy, is the same Holy Spirit of God that is inside you now. And therefore, it can be and should be stirred up. Amen. Today we have people that will pack into a church. They'll get excited. They'll testify. They'll weep. They'll wail for Christ. And you know, Monday comes around and the life is the same. Where is the stirring in their life? Where is the power that they had on Sunday that seems to be absent on Wednesday? Where's the change, is what I ask. Where's the transformation? Where's the difference in people's life? When you get saved, your life changes. Your life is to be transformed, if you will. Can I say this to you tonight? That it is not the it is the job of the Christian, not just the pastor or preachers, to stir up this world. It is not just the one that's in the pulpit. It's not just the one that wears the moniker of evangelist. It's not just the one that has accepted the call to preach as a full-time position. That's not just his job or his job. It is the job of every child of God. I remember the very first missions conference we conducted in our first church in Tennessee. We had 27 missionaries that showed up in our little bitty building that we had. 80-some-odd people packed into a place that probably should only fit about 30 of them. And I said, if you're a missionary here today, or you're a missionary, I'll please stand up. And everybody stood up. All those missionaries stood up. And my mother knew exactly what I was talking about, because you are called to be a missionary. You may not be called to go across the sea. You may not be called to go across the country, but you're called to at least go across the street, if not just win those that are in your house. Amen. I want you to notice again what Paul said. He says, I put thee in remembrance. I put thee in remembrance. And there is the key. That is the key. Right there is the reason people are not stirred in the world today. Because they are not remembering. I can go back to the 31st of December, 1990, and remember when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can remember what I felt. I can remember the burning sensation. I can remember the conviction of my heart and my soul and how I needed to be saved and born again, and knew that if I would have died at that moment before, that I would split hell wide open and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, I, for one, stumbled through the gospel. It took me 3 and 4 years to get my heart and life right. And it was not without scars. It was not without consequence. Yes, I paid an ultimate price, but I was a knucklehead and had to be beaten into submission. I pray that not be you. I'm here to tell you that there's something that was put inside of us on the moment we got saved. Beloved, it needs stirring. It needs stirring. Flip in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2 with me just real quick. 2 Peter in chapter 2 here, guys, and then we're going to settle into our points. We have about 7 points tonight, and I was just talking to Brother Preston the other day about having too many points in the sermon, and now, well, this is what I have. But they're popcorn points. They'll be fairly quick. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you'll look there with me real quick, I want to give you a verse and see what Peter's doing. We see that Paul is stirring Timothy up of the Holy Ghost that was put inside of him, that he was stirring up that which is put into them. Notice here with me when I say, he says, Paul says to Timothy, I put thee into remembrance. Notice what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, look in verse 12 with me. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter is saying, as long as I am in this body, as long as I am living on this earth, as long as I have blood going through my veins, as long as I breathe in this air, as long as I am physically here with you, I will put you in remembrance of these things. What things was he talking about? Well, you can read the chapter on your own time, but he's talking about your calling, your election, grace, godliness, fruitfulness, brotherly kindness, faith, virtue, knowledge, charity. Peter was stirring them up. He wasn't shaking them up. He was stirring them up of the Holy Ghost that was already put in them. Look over in chapter 3 with me, the same book, 2 Peter. Verses 1 through 3 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Again, what's Peter doing? Peter is authorizing the letter that he has just written. He's authorizing the reason of this second letter was to stir up your pure minds, to put you, to make you remember the commandments of the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ, to make you remember what Holy Spirit has been put inside of you. The reason, guys, we are stirred today is because we have entered into a state of rest. We, too many today, are in a state of ease in our life, and especially during this period of lockdown where people are sat in a position of near slumber thinking that they're going to benefit from a sermon. If you're sat on the settee at home today, feet propped up in your pajamas, and you think you're going to benefit from the Word of God, and you're sitting there dozing off with your eyes closed and left and right, you need to stand up and listen so you can listen strong. Amen. Therefore, we haven't remembered in our world today because we're in a state of rest. We're in a state of ease where we are. Beloved, if you will remember, I promise you, you'll be stirred. If you will just remember, if you can enter into a place of remembrance, you'll be stirred. Remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And you'll be stirred, my friend. Last time I asked you to turn tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. That's where we're going to settle in this evening. You're going to hit 7 things just real quick. 7 things. Make sure it's 7. God's perfect number, number of completion. Beloved, we need to be stirred into remembrance of some things tonight, I believe, in all of my heart. And one of the first things that we need to remember, my friend, we need to be stirred to remember our covering. Our covering. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look with me in verse 1. Paul says here, he goes, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. My friend, Paul's not referring to fabric here. Probably to some independent Baptist, a shock. He's not talking about the clothes that you wear, the tie around your neck. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the body we receive when Christ returns, when Christ takes us out of here. When we all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, there is an eager desire to be with Jesus Christ, to appear as we will. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that's a new covering right there, my friend. We need to remember that this life is not it. It doesn't end. It doesn't go into utter blackness. This body is not the final body. These lungs are not eternal. But there, over there, we have a body. We will be clothed a body which will never fall apart. We'll be clothed a body that will never hurt, will never get tired. And you should be stirred up tonight, stirred up in your heart, stirred up in your mind, that this is not the end of it, guys. This old frail body where the hairs turn gray and the wrinkles come and the joints begin to ache and the lungs begin to get weak and the heart begins to get porous and all of this thing. It's not the end, my friend. There's a covering on the other side of glory that we're going to receive. Beloved, we need to be stirred about that covering. You need to be stirred tonight upon the remembrance of our confidence. Of our confidence. Look up, pick up in verse 5 with me. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this or knowing that, while as we are at home in a body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. Now, we know that in our heart, and we must remember, guys, that when we leave this world, if we were to die today, we will be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that old saying is, don't threaten me with eternity, that the Christian will say. Beloved, you should be stirred in your heart to have confidence in what happens hereafter. To have confidence in a world where people are, guys, we're living in a world where people are murdered. Thousands are murdered every single day, where automobile accidents and incidents happen every single day. And guys, we can be confident knowing that if all any of that would befall us, we will see Christ immediately. Hebrews 3 tells me in verse 6, it says, but Christ is as a son over his own house, whose house are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Can I say, guys, you need to be stirred in remembrance of your confidence. Stirred in remembrance of the covering to come. But I'll tell you this, number three. You need to be stirred in remembrance of the consequence. You say, whoa, 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 what's that, preacher? Look at verse 10 with me in the same chapter. Verse 10 tells me, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yeah, there's a consequence in being in the body. There's a consequence of being in this body, and it should stir us today to do more, to do more, to do more, and to do more for Jesus Christ, knowing that one day we are going to stand before God Almighty, who knows all things, where no things are hidden, but all-knowing Christ, and be judged according to what we have done in this body. That should stir you tonight. One day we're going to give an account of how, what, and when we worked in this body. Now, understand this. Jesus Christ cleansed you from sin, past, present, future. All right? So I don't want you to think that Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. They are forgiven. They are separated as far as the east is from the west. They are cast off into God's forgiveness, the sea of God's forgiveness. Those are gone. If you accepted Christ today, Jesus Christ died for your sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Finished. All right? They are cleansed and paid for. It is the works that we do in the body of Christ that we're going to give an account for, whether those are good or whether those are bad. On that day, he's not going to say, I understand you had other things going on. He's not going to say, I understand that you got offended at what the preacher said. He's not going to say, oh, I understand you had something to watch on TV. He's not going to say, hey, I understand you didn't witness to that person, you know, because you were in a hurry that day. I get that. It's not going to happen. Our earthly excuses will not matter for the consequences of us not being stirred for the work of God in the body He has given us, and we will suffer loss on the other side. I didn't say suffer for sins. I didn't say give an answer for sins. I didn't say pay for sins. Those are paid for. But the work that we do for Jesus Christ. Paul said whether they be good or bad. Whether they be good or bad. Leonard Ravenhill said, 5 minutes inside eternity, every one of us will wish that we sacrificed more, prayed more, loved more, grieved more, wept more. Amen. We should be stirred in our remembrance of the consequence. We should be stirred in our remembrance of the covering. Stirred in our remembrance of the confidence. And fourthly, we should be stirred in remembrance of the condemned. Look in verse 11. Paul says here, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Paul's saying, I am persuaded to persuade others because I know the terror of God. I know what comes after this for the lost, those that are already condemned. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Yet three verses before that, in verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm here to tell you here tonight, guys, that if the gospel is going to be heard by the condemned in this world, of whom we were once those condemned. If we believe not, we are condemned already. Amen. How are they going to hear the gospel unless they hear without a preacher? Don't give me that teaching that, well, God's going to make a way that every man hears and everybody, that's not scriptural. Amen. He's given us the responsibility to share the gospel with this world today. How is the one that you say that you love going to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lest you, who has it in your heart, tell them. Remember the condemned. We should be stirred to remember the condemned. Remember them that preach to them. Remember them that witness to them. Remember that hell is forever. Death is sure. And they will be without excuse. And so will we for not telling them. My friend, we need to be stirred in the remembrance of the condemned, stirred in the remembrance of the covering, stirred in the remembrance of confidence, and stirred in the remembrance of consequence. And fifthly, tonight, we should stir up our remembrance of the constraint. Look in verse 14. Skip down just a little bit. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Constraineth. Constraining, that comes from the Greek word suneko, to hold together, it means to compress, to arrest as a prisoner, to compel, perplex, afflict, preoccupy. What does that mean? We are held together by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are compelled to preach to others by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul lists everything that could exist in this world and beyond and states that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And do you remember that today? Do you remember when you read in Romans chapter 8 that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God? That we are more than conquerors, amen. That should constrain us. That should arrest you. That should hold you together. That should compel you to share the gospel with the lost and dying. We need to stir up our remembrance of the constraint. Stir your remembrance of the consequence. Stir your remembrance of the condemned. Stir your remembrance of the covering. Stir your remembrance of the confidence. Sixthly, we need to stir up our remembrance of the creature. Skip down to verse 17 with me in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, that's a small little word coming up with a mighty big meaning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, I like that. All things become new. Now, we are new creatures. We are a new person. We're not what we used to be. But what does that mean to you? What that means to you is that you now have the power. You have the new being filled inside of you that we're trying to stir up tonight. The new being inside of you to be conformed to the image of Christ one day. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we are a new creature. We're not the old. We need to remember that things are new, not the old ways and the old days and the old man. We need to stir up our remembrance of the new creatures. Stir up our remembrance of the constraint. We need to stir our remembrance of the condemned, the consequences, the confidence, the covering. And lastly, tonight, finally, surely not leastly, We need to be stirred to remember Christ. Look in verses 18 down to 20. He says, "In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Look in verse 21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." I think we need to stir up the remembrance that Jesus Christ knew no sin. I think we need to be stirred in remembrance that Jesus Christ committed no sin. Jesus Christ is and was perfect on this earth and beyond. And we who were once condemned were made a new creature because of Christ. What He did and does for us could not have been done by anyone else. That, my friend, should stir us to the point that serving and pleasing Christ should occupy our mind completely, putting Christ first. Remember, guys, we need to be put in remembrance as we remember the condemned. We need to be put in remembrance as we remember our covering, our confidence, the consequences, the constraint, the new creature, but by all means, Christ. When we think about the condemned, I ask you and I wonder tonight, have you ever said, "Well, I'll get involved later"? When you think about Christ and the new creature that you are and the constraint that He's given us, but then you think of the condemned and you forget the consequences, does it stir you up? And do you say, "Well, you know what? I'll witness later on. There'll be another time. I'll make church the next service. I'll do this, I'll do that next time." There's a young man who was visited by a preacher one time that was in town. That young man was invited to a revival meeting that the preacher was preaching. And that preacher came by and he said, "Listen, man, I want to invite you to the revival meeting. Will you come over?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll come over tomorrow night. Can't make it tonight, I'm busy, but I'll come over tomorrow night." And tomorrow night came and he didn't arrive. The preacher went over there by the house one more time, another time, and he said, I want to invite you over to the revival meeting. If you'll come over tonight, it'd be a blessing." He goes, "You know what, I tell you what, I'm tied up a little bit right now. I can't make it tonight, but I'll come tomorrow night." Next night showed. Or that night showed he didn't appear, and the next night came, and the preacher was convicted about going to see him. He knew he had two more nights of the revival left. And he says, "You know what, I'll go see him tomorrow, the last night, and that way he can't give me an excuse. It's the last night of the revival," and so the preacher didn't go visit him. And that night, as his friend slept, fire broke out in the house. Burned him and his family to death. He remembered the condemned. He remembered the consequences. He remembered the constraint. He remembered the covering. He remembered Christ. He remembered it all. The preacher forgot it one night, put it off. And that young friend of his stayed in his state, condemnation, and died an agonizing death, only to wake up in the life hereafter in an eternal state that was thousands of times worse than the manner that he died. Beloved, all I want to do tonight is I want to stir up inside of your heart the Holy Spirit of God that is there. I want it stirred up in your heart and into your mind to remember that we pass the condemned every single day. And it is only tonight that we are saved and born again and on our way to heaven because of Jesus Christ and Christ alone, because of the constraint of His love. The new covering that we will once have, guys, is because of Him. The confidence that we have today to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, is because of Jesus Christ. But my friend, if we put off witnessing, there is a consequence. If we leave the condemned alone, there is a consequence. So that's my challenge tonight, beloved, to stir up in you, to put you in remembrance of what Christ has done, is doing, and will do for you and for many others. Let that gift be stirred up tonight in your heart and your mind. Will you bow your heads? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the time to be here this evening. And I ask you, Lord, to take your message. I pray that you would prick the hearts of the people, the hearers. I plead with you, Lord, of the one listening today that knows you not as Lord and Savior, let it be the last moment that they are unsure of their eternal salvation. I pray, dear God in heaven, they would bow their hearts, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, ask forgiveness of sins, and invite Him into their hearts for all eternity. And from that moment forward, dear God, I pray that you use these words this evening to stir up that gift that is placed in them at the moment, the minute, the second of salvation. We love you, Lord, tonight. Help us be remembering, remember these things tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hope and pray that preaching and teaching of the Word of God tonight was a blessing to your heart and to your soul. Brother Preston, if you'll close us with our hymn this evening, I pray that people's hearts and lives would be challenged, that they would be changed, and that they would have a new purpose from this moment forward, or even a revitalized purpose, let me say, not a new one, but a revitalized one. Old Rugged Cross.
All right, sing out with us tonight as we do the old